The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord.
You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel reading for today picks up with a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. So listen again to what St. Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. So this conversation that Jesus has, we see, it's nothing new. Jesus pulls them aside, and he tells them what he has already been telling them on numerous occasions, what he's been preparing them for throughout his whole ministry. And to add to this, this conversation has been occurring all the way back since after the fall in the Garden of Eden, when God promised that he would crush the head of the serpent from the seed of the woman. The patriarchs, the prophets, the Psalms, the entirety of scriptures were pointing to and speaking about what Jesus was telling his disciples in these words. It's nothing new. This is not new information, but the very plan and purpose of God in Christ. And this is where Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, does not sin, because he has patience that I do not have. I would be going, "Come on, guys, really, really?" But no, the disciples, though, did not grasp what Jesus said. Now, you know, though, what this all means. You're on this side of Holy Week. You're on this side of Easter. Lent starts this Wednesday, and you know what all happens. As you begin Ash Wednesday, you know the whole story. Jesus is telling his disciples he's going to suffer, die, and rise from the dead. And not only do you know what this all will happen, but you know the purpose and what it means for you in all of this. The word that Jesus used in the English Standard Version in our gospel reading, translated that all will be accomplished, is related to the word that Jesus cried out on Good Friday on the cross when it is finished. It is paid in full. So the life, suffering, and death of Jesus is your redemption. His resurrection is your justification. So Jesus was telling the disciples in these words what would be the cost of their and of your salvation. And as you listen to this then now, you know what this all means. And you see something in all of this. And it's revealed to you in the second part of the reading with the blind man. So listen again to this miracle. As he, Jesus, drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So here's this blind man, and he knows the scriptures. He knows what you heard in the Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. So then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." So only the Christ, only the promised Messiah would give sight to the blind. So here's this blind man. He hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he cries out to the Christ to show him, this poor blind man on this side of the road, mercy. So as you consider all of this morning, you see this blind man shows you how to see. So consider your place in life. Consider who you are as a baptized child of God. God calls you to be faithful. Salvation is received by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, through the scriptures alone. So in this Sunday of the church year, we hear that through faith alone. Don't take this for granted or grow complacent. Hear and understand what all this means as you now stand on this side of the cross, the empty tomb, ascension, and Pentecost. To be the people of God is to be a people of faith. It's to be faithful in receiving the means of grace, for without the means of grace, you're not God's people, and there is no faith in Christ. So perhaps another place we do well to examine ourselves is to understand what faith is and what faith isn't. Faith wants what God gives. It keeps wanting, coming back to it, receiving it. This is a living faith. And through this faith, which receives and holds on to Christ and his benefits, you are saved, which is what the English Standard Version text says, you are made well. Jesus literally says, has saved you. But your faith isn't some things. For instance, faith is not an excuse to sin. A Christian doesn't say, "Well, I have faith," when he is confronted with a sin. Faith also isn't in itself. So what does that mean? Well, the Christian doesn't try to see his faith for its own sake, as a way to separate himself from God and his gifts. Your faith must have and will always have an object, and it's never for its own sake. I've mentioned it numerous times before but for me as a pastor, when I talk to somebody, just as an example, who hasn't been to church in a while, faith gets used as a means unto itself. So what's the first thing the person tries to tell me? When I tell them, we haven't seen you in church in a while, we miss you, and you're hurting yourself. It's always without fail, "Well, I have faith." And the response to this I have given is, "How?" And there's always a puzzling look given me and telling me, because it clearly shows that faith has no object, or faith has been defined by something that the person defines in himself. And then when there is a discussion, it often turns into a lot of language was, "My faith does this," "My faith is faith because I know in my heart I have faith," or "I know who Jesus is." But simply saying, "have faith," or something like "love is love," they make nice bumper stickers or social media posts or George Michael songs, but they don't say anything. Faith apart from God's appointed means, or believing something different than God's word, is not the Christian faith. And so in these instances, faith has become a quality in a person rather than that we see in the reading and throughout the whole Bible. Or it just becomes knowing who Jesus is. And that does not constitute faith. James tells us even the demons believe in Jesus, but they shudder at this. So now contrast all of this as you go back to the gospel reading for a minute. And what did the blind man want? When he's on the roadside begging, and when he's told Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he simply didn't just say, "I have faith." No. What did he say and what did he do? He cried out for Jesus to have mercy on him. He wanted Jesus to come to him. He wanted Jesus to do something. He wanted Jesus to heal him, not just be a nice sentiment in his heart or an excuse he could pull out of his back pocket in life. The blind man believed in Christ, and he shows you what faith looks like as he clings to the promise of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. His words, too, are words of praise. They call upon God's mercy. And he teaches you how you know God and look for him to act in Christ, because God is merciful to you. And this is the confidence and trust of faith the blind man shows, and what the Lord has given you as well. So God teaches you today, this Sunday, before the start of Lent, about faith in him. Conform your hearts and your minds to what the scriptures teach you. Examine your life. See where you have sinned and repent. Confess your sin and look to Jesus. See with your ears, looking to the Lord who loves with a perfect and everlasting love and is faithful at all times. He is the one who has gone to the cross for you, taking your sin upon himself, and gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation in return. This is yours, given to you in the waters of your baptism. And the Lord is here today. He's not just passing by on his way to somewhere else with bigger and better things to do. You're not ignored by Jesus. You, the people of God, are crying out, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And Jesus has heard you. You are his people. And he stoops down, not on the road on the way to Jericho, but here this very day in this very place. And he hears and answers your prayers. He says, I forgive you all of your sins. He says, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Jesus comes today with healing. And your faith trusts Jesus. It trusts him through these promises, through these means by which he has given to you. And your faith has saved you. It has made you well because he does all things well. And notice that boldness that comes from faith too. His friends, the blind man's friends, tried to get him to be quiet. But have the confidence to go every day walking by faith as you go through this veil of tears. Look at the world differently. See everything through the lens of his word and have his word be that which shows you what is true reality, what is good, right, and true. Even when you're on the roadside and you can't see your own fingers in front of your face, but you know there's Jesus and you truly see. And so your God loves you. And he shows you mercy in Christ. Your Lord knew what he must do when he said, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Jesus had a purpose for doing all that he said, and he still does as he is here for you. Rejoice with this blind man. Sing praises to the Lord who is near. Trust in Christ as you are baptized into him, as you're listening to his word, as you take into your mouth the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good and how lovely is his dwelling place on this side of the grave. See all of this today. In your God-given faith, see what was necessary for Jesus to do and what he did willingly, all for your sake. See that his life and perfect obedience to the law of God is counted to you. See what would be his mocking and suffering is for your benefit. See his death on the cross as the atonement for your sin, and know that your sin is forgiven. God's wrath has been satisfied as it's been poured out on Christ in your place. See the glorious resurrection from the dead as the proclamation that all has been fulfilled, all has been accomplished. And see, that's what you will do on the final day. Jesus promised the Lord would be raised on the third day, and he promises that he will raise you up as well. see from the blind man where you are to look here and now with all of this having been done. And as you experience times of joy, suffering, trial, and even death, face them as one who sees with faithful eyes, knowing that these things have been overcome by Jesus, who endured these things in your place and promises you the day is coming where all sin, where all suffering, where all death, where all the crafts and assaults of the devil will come to an end and will be no more. Your prayers are heard now and answered by your great high priest who sits at the right hand of God interceding for you. And Jesus is here for you even now. He will never forsake you or abandon you. He doesn't pass by. Rather, he takes your cries of mercy to the very throne of God. Thanks be to God this day for the faith in Christ given by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for his great compassion in Jesus, the Son of David, who has mercy on you. Fix your eyes on him and cling to his promises today that he is yours and has saved you by his blood. Cry out to him at times, knowing that he hears and answers you and will never forsake you. Don't be silenced by those who would try to mock you or tell you that it's worthless, that your faith in him is in vain. No, look toward Jerusalem as Lent approaches, hearing and seeing your redemption, accomplished by the one who stopped along the way to heal a poor blind man. And hear and understand that this was done all for you, and go, your faith has saved you. And confidently and with eager anticipation, look forward to that day as well when your faith will end and you will see the Lord face to face with your own two eyes, no longer stained by sin and all it entails. On that day, that will be a glorious day to be before the Lamb on his throne and join with all the saints in the unending hymn of glory that will not fade away. That's what you have. That's what you see now in faith and what you look to and know that Jesus has done it and he is here this very instant. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.